All right, folks, nobody can really accuse me anymore of leading you on, of teasing you through this and dangling something in front of you that I never seem to fulfill. Because as I speak this morning on the Revelation series, part 665, yes, one show away from 666, I may have a special show for you and do a one-day special on the number 666, a review of the number 666, which is especially great because yesterday Amazon brought me a little gift. Actually, it wasn't a gift. I had to pay for it. Bullinger's Number in Scripture. This, I have the Witness of the Stars, too, that just came to me. Of course, it's a reverse image. As you're looking at it on the laundry cam, a friend sent me this, Witness of the Stars, but I ordered again for myself, Number in Scripture, and it is an amazing book. I was reading it last night outside. It was a very peaceful night here. I was just marveling at the works of God, the perfection of God, especially in numbers. His numbers are perfect, and the Word is full of numbers and combinations of numbers that they go over 1,500 years through the divine writers, 5,000 years, I should say. And it's just unbelievable, the system of the Word. This is proof that the Word of God is inspired. You will read about it in Bullinger's Number in Scripture. The Word of God is inspired because of combination of numbers. How many times certain words appear is a multiple of seven, for instance. It's just always, blah, 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 blah. It's just fantastic. And the God of order, it just, you don't have to understand every detail of the book. When you read it, you start to see that this is, it's incomprehensible that this could happen by a collusion between different writers of the Scripture. But over thousands of a period of thousands of years, they were connected by divine mind, just like the body of Christ is connected by a divine mind. So in a way, we all think alike. This is why when we get together, we instantly find gratification with each other. It's like we've known each other all our lives. It's like you're closer to me than family. Of course, that's the divine mind. That's the mind of Christ. It's one mind operating in all members of the body of Christ, and it unites the body. And the analogy of Paul is the body. It's united by ligaments and muscles and joints, but it has a common mind, doesn't it? You have one mind, but 10 fingers. You have one mind, but how many teeth do you have? I don't know. If you're Joel Osteen's wife, you have a extra amount of teeth, but talking about the average person, maybe 36, 32, something like that. But all the body of Christ has many members, but one head. And so one mind wrote the Scriptures using different writers. What, 46 different, 28 different writers in the Old Testament, 46 total. I don't know, these amazing numbers. And I could do a whole series on number in Scripture, and it would just blow you away in wanting to revere, worship the God who keeps this world together. And it's this God who created things by a decree, by the power within him, the Spirit. This is the God who has taken us under his wing and is whispering to us his secrets. So, folks, it's not like I'm leaving you hanging on the Revelation series, is it? Even if I get on a one-day sidetrack tomorrow on show 666, on the number 666, I gave you the year of the kingdom. I told you 2028. That means that the tribulation starts in 2021. That means that we are in the year 5989 F.A. I realized I was born in 5932 F.A. That's all I want to know. Just give me the F.A. That's all I want to know. From Adam. How many years are we from Adam? Because God doesn't set dates. He goes by time elapsed. This was backed up for me in Dr. Bullinger's book, Number in Scripture. God isn't a date setter. He's an elapsed timer, a time elapser. He counts time past. Oh, and he's the God of history and the God of the future. What I'm going to say now, I say to comfort you. I tell you this, that God is not doing anything new. And this is comforting. I want something new. Please be quiet. You don't even know what you're saying. You don't want anything new. Believe me. There's nothing new under the sun. That's great news. Thank God there's nothing new under the sun. I'm going to quote your friend and mine, Solomon, here. But first I want to say that those who would deny the historical character of the Bible deny its claim to be a credible testimony and a reliable document. It claims to be a reliable document. It claims to be a chronology of humanity. It claims to be an account of the origins of humanity, i.e. Genesis. If you deny that, then you might as well throw the Bible in the heap. It's like in the trash heap. It's like these people that say, well, Jesus was a good teacher. He was just one prophet. Muhammad was another one, blah, blah, blah. There's no middle ground here. There's no gray area. Either he was a terrible deceiver because he claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and dying for the sins of the world. That's blasphemy unless you can do it. But if you can do it, it ain't bragging, folks. If you can do it, it ain't bragging. You can't just say, this is just a nice book, the Bible, you know, it's fine. No, it claims to be an account of the mind of God. How audacious would that be unless it were true? People ask me, how do you know the Bible's the Word of God? I got two answers now. I've always had two answers. One is, it puts such a bad light on humanity. Humanity is weak, unable to save itself. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Shows humanity falling over itself, tripping on constantly. No human author would make humanity look this bad. And this other thing is gematria. That's the science, the marvel of number in Scripture, that each letter even of the Hebrew alphabet and each letter of the Greek alphabet, when you assign it numerical values and then you add those values up in any given word, it shows a pattern that was absolutely unknown to the writers, unconsciously done by the writers of Scripture. So anyway, I'm going to comfort you by telling you that God is the God of history. And the Word of God, it doesn't lead us into a virtual world, like some imagination world, where we're all just a bunch of happy little dreamers. That's what people think the Bible is. It's just a nice collection of quaint tales. No, but it acquaints us with true events that happened in real chronological orders and courses. By courses, I mean the means of the chronology, that is, the sun and the moon. God's Word does not describe a world that started indefinitely some far-off time, millions of years ago, that none of us can grasp. You go to the Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C., and they tell you this dinosaur is 300 million years old, and you just stand there dumbfounded, because nobody even knows how much that is. When they talk about the national debt being so many trillions of dollars, we're just stupefied into stupefaction because we can't grasp $1 million, $1 trillion. Well, we can't grasp trillions of years. Some of these yo-yo scientists are actually saying trillions of years. But no, God, this plan that we're in is graspable. Humanity is only 6,000 years old. We are closing in on the end of the sixth millennium from Adam. It doesn't mean that the earth isn't older. It could be older, but maybe not much, because there was a first earth that was disrupted. In a beginning, the definite article is not there in Genesis 1:1. I know this from the Concordant Version and the Devar Translation. In a beginning, created by the Elohim. Passive voice there, don't know why. Were the heavens and the earth, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant. Then the Spirit of God starts vibrating on the waters, and he brings forth the land, then he brings forth the sea life, brings forth the land life, brings forth Adam, all in 6 days. Like that. So this is nice to know, these things are graspable. We're not saying it started in some hairy, distant, nebulous, far off, millions of years ago time as a result of some big bang. How convenient is that for people who, to whom God has not given a spirit of wisdom and realization, a big bang? That's pretty handy. Pretty handy to have a big bang to just explain everything. But it's horrible, because what it does is it throws I don't know, how can anybody have comfort? Because it throws everything into chaos. Because the Big Bang was a result of chaos. It was the result of chance. It was the result of elements coming together by complete chance. I'll tell you this. That the story of God, the story that God condescends to tell us, included, this is included in the package when you buy it, an unbroken chronology. That is my fantastic claim for you today, is that God's word contains an unbroken chronology from the creation of Adam. It's the sheer wealth of chronological dates in the Bible. When you read the Bible, you're astounded at the details. It just makes your eyes glass over. You want to just skip over it because it's ridiculous. And the generations of Seth were, and the generations of this, and he lived for so and so years. Who cares? You just go over it and it's like, is this over yet? Makes you want to read an Archie comic book. But this is, again, this is a gift of God. It's a what I would call a wealth of chronological dates in the Bible, and it would be complete nonsense. It would be a figment of God's imagination given to us to become a figment of our imagination. It would just be a feigning of authenticity. Like God's up there saying, how can we make this sound really authentic, like we really know what we're talking about? I know, let's list a bunch of dates, and let's list the genealogies of a bunch of people and tell people how long they lived. That would be great, then it'll sound so official, like we actually know what we're talking about. Or God does actually know what he's talking about, and this scripture is an unbroken chronology of the times of man on this earth and the times of God for the completion of something he calls the purpose of the eons. And that's exactly what it is. And I'm bringing this to you. And I'm honored to do it. I'm borrowing other people's work and I'm adding my own on top of it. I'm giving you my insights into this. Because I'm tapped into the mind of God just as the writer of the chronology of the Bible was. Because we're both had this in common. We're honoring the Word of God. We're honoring that God speaks. We're honoring His words. We're honoring the writ. We're honoring that He literally inspired people to record His words, to record the plan, to tell us what was happening, and to give us the times and seasons. And these men who wrote this were united by a common spirit, and they were not writing of their own volition. They were not. People make fun of that. I don't care how many people make fun of it. I'll stand alone if I have to on that solid foundation, that unless God were to leave us an anchor, to leave us an account, then everybody's off on their own. I wanted to get to a great quote from Solomon, but I'm going to have to end with this thought. I know I'm unpacking this very, very slowly, but it's luxurious and it's delicious, all these details. To think that God would leave us adrift without a message from Him, without comfort. If he had done that, then everybody would be on their own. You understand that? And those who deny the inspiration of the scriptures have to say that God has left us every man for himself, because everybody has a different idea about things. This person believes in the Big Bang. This person believes in evolution. This person believes in reincarnation. This person believes that we're all gods. This person believes that there is no God. And they all just go on and on in their opinions. And you have to listen to them. And they just have no idea what they're talking about. One person had a dream. One person used cards, special cards, to tell the future. One person looked into a crystal ball. One person talked to the dead. They all are nuts. They all have different ideas. One person had a Ouija board. One person had a seance. This other person saw writing on the wall. This other person saw Jesus walk into their room. It's all a cacophony of BS. We're not left in that predicament, because, friends, that would be a horrible predicament. But no. Did you notice that the one amazing thing about the scriptures, it's been preserved. It's been abused, yes, it's been misused, and because of that, people throw it out. And the first thing I do when I meet a scripture doubter, a scripture hater, a Word of God denier, is to tell them that I agree with them that it's been abused, it's been mistranslated, it's been trod on, it's been used to condemn people, to damn people, to swat people upside the head. It's been used by the proud, by the arrogant, to keep the masses down. The Catholic Church didn't want anybody grabbing onto the scriptures because they wanted to have the monopoly on the Word of God. People have fought over this, and yet here it is. It's preserved, and now, funny that the best translations of the Bible came about at the end of the 20th century, or the end of the 19th century, and the beginning of the 20th century. The Concordant Version, I think, began around 1909, and the Devar, I'm not sure when, but God is, as the times become more complex, as the times become more perilous, as the times become more dangerous, God has made sure that the translation of His Word reached a pinnacle of, you think I'm going to say perfection, but I can't, because it's not perfect. Nobody's found the originals. As I say, I'm always hoping they'll show up at a yard sale somewhere, you know, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Moline, Illinois, or something like that. But until then, we have really scientifically, logically executed translations of the Bible that bring forth greater treasures of God's mind to sustain those of us who love God's mind and who love God's Word, to sustain us during these times of incredible apostasy. That's what we're in. We're in times of incredible apostasy, and God doesn't leave us adrift. Doesn't leave us adrift. And He comforts us, and I'm going to get into this tomorrow. He comforts us by telling us that He's a God of the past. Why would this comfort us? Because there's nothing new under the sun. Why would that comfort us? Because God has a repeating pattern. And He's using this repeating pattern to count. And He's using this count to tell us when things are going to happen. We have a vested interest in when things are going to happen, because we are a vital cog in this giant machine called the purpose of the eons. How did that happen? It's by the grace of God. You know how many billions of humans have been born, and yet we are plucked out of the mass of humanity, heading to the brink of destruction on the torrent of popular culture. We've been snatched out of that, finding ourselves out of step with that culture, and God is giving us His secrets, not by whispering into our ears in the middle of the night, not by giving us dreams, not by having us read crystals or consult a Ouija board. He has done it by means of His Word, correctly translated and properly revered.